Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're now joined by Greg Brown, Pirates broadcaster, and he is sponsored by Allegiant Federal Credit Union. Shape your future. Visit AllegiantFCU.org and by Gutter Helmet. Don't overlook your home's gutter system, 888-5-HELMET. Just heard Ben Cherington talk about how the best chance for the Pirates to make the playoffs is by having big-time internal improvements. There are more guys on the team than they could add at the deadline, and so needing those guys to get better. And there's tons of candidates offensively. One of them is Jack Sawinski, who's starting again tonight and is in center field. Greg, we were talking before about how he struggled so mightily, Jack Sawinski. They sent him down, had to call him back up because of an injury bug and Michael A. Taylor paternity list and all that stuff. One of my questions is, why haven't we seen Brian Reynolds in center field this year?
Well, I mean, I have not asked that question, but for me, I wouldn't move Brian Reynolds. You know, the idea at the beginning of the season, you might remember, Andrew, was they were going to keep Brian Reynolds in right field much of this season and move Sawinski to left because they felt Sawinski was a better and more mobile outfielder. He had played a bunch of center field, still does, and that Reynolds would help, you know, less wear and tear on his body out, and especially at PNC Park. And they've obviously abandoned that because Reynolds has been so good in left field. And so for me, if, you know, I haven't asked the question, but I wouldn't move Brian Reynolds from left field. It's funny you asked that question because I did the Derek Shelton pregame show, recorded it about a half hour ago. And that was one of the questions I brought up. There's this idea that, Sawinski apparently, according to the statistics, is one of the worst center fielders, I guess, if not outfielders, in the league, which boggles my mind. And the numbers aren't terribly kind, I guess, to Reynolds. But the point is, asked about specifically Reynolds in left field and how great he's been out there, numbers aside, he helped save the game the other day. It went it was under the radar. I think it was the fifth inning, a scoreless ball game, and a leadoff walk. Falter walks the guy. The next guy, it looks like a sure double into the left center field gap. Reynolds races over there, cuts it off, holds the batter to a single. The very next hitter hits into a double play. And that's the kind of stuff Reynolds has been doing time and time again from left field. So for me, that's not even an issue. I wouldn't touch him. I wouldn't move him from left field.
Well, then who plays center? The guy that's hitting, the guy that stinks defensively out there and is hitting in the 100s? I mean, you got to get offense in that position, Greg.
Okay. Well, if you move Reynolds to center field,
I'll play Olivares. Olivares hits about 100.
Left field?
We'll play Olivares out there. He hits about 100 points higher than Sawinski.
In left field?
Why not?
Because Edward Olivares is, now that, with no disrespect, is obviously why he plays right field. I mean, he doesn't compare, and I'm not looking at any numbers, but Edward Olivares is not nearly as good an outfielder as Sawinski and Reynolds.
Well, what is it about trying to win game 0-0? They got to get runs, Greg. They got to get hitters in the lineup here.
Yeah, but shuffling Reynolds to center field is
I got to find a way to get Sawinski out of the lineup is what I'm saying.
Well, that's a different story.
I'm trying to come up with ways, and I said play him in center field. That's all.
No, I wouldn't move Reynolds.
Well, then how do you do it then, Greg? How do you get Sawinski to Indianapolis? Because he shouldn't play every day for a team that's fighting for a playoff spot when he's, as you said, statistically awful on defense, and he can't buy an extra base hit to save his life.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. He was asked that in his scrum, Shelton, on Sawinski. He said he's got to stay on the fastball. They just don't want to give up on a guy who's got that kind of power potential. They see it in him. And I guess in their mind, Andrew, they might ask, what options do we have? If it's not Sawinski in the outfield, the options frankly aren't great right now. Now I still feel, and maybe I'm, barking up the wrong tree. And I know he was given a shot earlier, but not a regular opportunity. But for me, if a team is not hitting the ball over the fence regularly, get me a guy who can get on and create havoc on the bases. And I know they tried it earlier, then he got hurt, and he has been a disappointment. But Jiwon Bae is, again, tearing it up at AAA. And so I don't know if that opportunity will come for him anytime soon. But for me, that's at least an option if they look to go that way.
Brownie, Ben Cherington talked and was asked about, trading for players that could help this team, since we're all talking about a way to get Jack Sawinski out of the lineup. And he intimated that right now the cost is too high, bottom line. Like, if you knew what I was being asked to give up for what I was being told I would get in return, you'd understand why I'm not doing this. And my response to you, or my question to you, is, given how many teams are still very much in the playoff chase by design, how much do you expect the prices really to go down between now and the trade deadline?
Don't know that answer either. And last time I hosted his show, I kind of brought that same thing up. And he talked about, we're working the phones. We keep working the phones. And I mentioned toward the end of that show about how the Padres got Luis Arraez. And he said that's because A.J. Preller kept working the phones, the GM of the Padres. And he said, that's what we have to keep doing, and we're going to keep pushing it. We are talking. And so I don't know the answer to that either. I don't know that anybody knows because nothing's come to fruition yet. But I know they're working. I know they're trying. But there are, to your point, there are a lot of teams. Look, and, I mentioned this to him, too, a couple weeks ago. I just happened to listen to a podcast before the season started. I don't know what it was, but it was spring training. But David Cone came out and said something very curious to me, and I wrote it down. He said, it is easier to find pitching now in baseball than it is hitting. And that has stuck with me since early March. And lo and behold, that is exactly the case right now. Everybody is looking for bats in baseball. So not only do you have only a few teams that are likely to move players, less than a handful, and you know who they are at this juncture. I mean, 3 weeks ago, I heard everybody talking about, Pete Alonso, the Pirates should go get Pete Alonso. Well, the Mets weren't going to move Pete Alonso. And that's the other thing, too.
Well, maybe when they were 15 games under.
No way. No chance.
Well, they're not.
No chance.
Well, he's going to go to free agency, Greg. He's not going to resign there.
But you're the Mets fan, Andrew. You know this better than anybody, that they're going to try and if they can, salvage something and win this year, even though they've been in kind of a semi-rebuild. But
I don't know. If they were 10 games out, they might have traded him. Just like when the Yankees traded Aroldis Chapman to the Cubs. Yeah. Sometimes you got to, even in that market, just punt on a season.
My point is, 3 weeks ago, they were not going to move Pete Alonso when everybody was screaming for Pete Alonso.
Right.
They weren't going to do it.
At that point. Now, if they're 10 games out on July 28th, they would have done it for sure.
Well, that's a different story, of course.
Right.
But back then, when everybody, I heard it. I mean, you know it. Why don't the Pirates go get Pete Alonso? Pete Alonso's available. Shame on them for not getting Pete Alonso. The Mets weren't going to move Pete Alonso.
I don't know if anybody said shame on them. It was
they did, too. Everybody was telling they named Alonso and many others of why
this?
The Pirates don't get this guy. I heard you, and you guys heard the talk. Well, Alonso was one of a handful of players that had been, not just locally,
sure,
nationally. I'm sure other cities were saying the same thing. Why don't the Cubs go get Alonso? I mean, that just happens. That's just the way it is in baseball. And it's good trade talk. It's fun. But there's no way the Mets were going to move Pete Alonso 3 weeks ago. It was a fallacy then, and it's a fallacy certainly now, the way they're playing. And anyway, back to the point that there are only a select number of teams who are going to be moving players,
yep,
at least for now. And those select teams only have a very select number of bats. Now think of that. You've whittled it down to two or three, maybe, bats available in a trade market that has several teams, maybe a dozen or more, who are looking for bats, looking for offense. That's a hard get. But I'm not saying they're not going to try and maybe not land somebody. But man, the Pirates certainly are not the only team trying to acquire somebody.
Greg, the comment that Ben made on his show this weekend about how, hey, it's never been harder for a young hitter to succeed in big league baseball with the way pitching is and everything else, that you have to anticipate or think that struggles are likely. It's not linear. And we're a team that is dependent on a lot of young hitting. I said to Chris when he made those comments on Sunday, so then what were their internal projections for the Pirates this year? If they thought that it was going to be hard for a lot of their young hitters to produce, what did they think their record was going to be? 75 wins again? Because they were relying on young hitters. They didn't go, I mean, they brought some veterans in, but they're all one-year guys. They're not big. I mean, they're not guys you could count on or depend on to carry your offense this year. They were leaning on young guys.
Well, I mean, that's an excellent point. I don't know. You know, I don't. I guess that'd be a good question.
Did they not expect to have
him
a good year? I mean, if you're, so, if,
I don't know the answer to that either. That's a good question.
I mean, they brought up the O'Neill Cruz thing too. Like, hey, you've got to be patient with him because the ankle. He's a year removed from having major surgery that no other baseball player had. I don't know, Greg. I mean, their pitching has obviously been much, much better, and that's what's got everybody excited because of what their starting pitching is. But now I'm hearing. I'm hearing Ben say things like, we didn't even really have that high of expectations for our own young guys to begin with this season.
Well, I mean, maybe that's the job of a, you know, I don't know this, but maybe that's the job of the general manager to bring down maybe expectations, you know, but that they worry so much about what the players hear and read that you know, he has to be so careful with his words. I know he's so focused on just trying to do two things. Number one, get the team better every single day. And he really does believe that. And he's so focused.
Well, how about Hayes, Greg? That. Should they just shut him down with the way he's playing and just rest his back? And...
Well, I mean, I don't know about that. I wouldn't. I mean, he's a cornerstone guy. I wouldn't give up on him just yet.
I don't think, I'm not implying giving up on him. I'm saying rest him because obviously what we're seeing is
if his back, Andrew, if his back is the or an issue, if he's struggling because of his back, then I think that they probably would shut him down.
If he's not struggling because of his back, I'm even more concerned.
Yeah, that's true too. Good point. Now, I will say that the last, I think, three games in Atlanta, well, maybe he played two of the three in Atlanta, he played one since, whatever it was, started to look like he's coming out of it. And maybe they see the same thing. But only they know. Only he knows about the back issue. If that is the problem, I thought about maybe 3 weeks ago to a month ago, there was a game or maybe a couple that looked to me like there were some ground balls that he wasn't getting to that he normally does, and I thought the only explanation for me had to be something to do with the back or some other issue that we weren't aware of. Now he's been way better. His defense is back. So, you know, maybe it barks every once in a while. And it's just one of those things that they're going to have to kind of put up with and work through. But until, you know, he tells the Pirates that or the Pirates tell us that, then we can only assume that he's just kind of going through some offensive struggles and trying to work through it, and he's healthy enough to go out there and play.
Greg, if the general manager has made it clear that the best chance they have for improvement or the biggest, you know, area where they could acquire players, so to speak, who would help their offense is internally, guys just improving, and those are acquisitions of a kind, guys just upticking. What evidence do we have to support the idea that Andy Haynes will be able to get that out of all of these players?
Well, I mean, I think there's evidence of guys improving, and not just this year, but you've seen in the past. You've seen some players that have, I mean, Sawinski comes to mind, you know, before this year. You certainly saw good stretches, and you look at his overall numbers, they're pretty solid for a first-year full-time player last season. If Andy Haynes is to be criticized, and I'm not saying he shouldn't be, but if he is to be criticized for players that aren't performing, then do we give him credit for players that are or when they do perform?
Who's performing on this team regularly enough for Andy Haynes to warrant credit?
Okay, well, Brian Reynolds obviously stands out. Andrew McCutchen, aside from a slow month, of April. Stands out. Connor Joe for a good stretch was playing good. Even Andrew's buddy, Edward Olivares, for a while was playing pretty good through stretches. Now, I'm not, and again, consistency is a key. You could argue that Brian Reynolds was not really good at all the first 6 weeks of the season. Now, you know, he might be flirting with an all-star game. So it's, you know, for me, you guys talk about this stuff all the time with coaches, you know, Matt Canada, you know, with the Steelers and the offensive, you know, now they've changed personnel, the Steelers have. And now if the Steelers go out and play well offensively, is everybody going to credit a new offensive coordinator and not point to the new personnel? I wonder.
I guess the reason I asked the question is I know people listening to this interview right now and following the Pirates understand how good their starting pitching is at the top end of that rotation in particular and are looking for things to be optimistic about with their bats. And when the general manager says the greatest chance we have for that type of acquisition of a player is actually just guys on the roster improving, I don't see much reason for optimism because the majority of their everyday players are not good offensive players right now.
Well, right, man, the key is right now. And I got frustrated by hearing that originally, you know, the best players, you know, you start to roll your eyes. The best way that the Pirates can improve offensively is with the personnel. But if you listen to it closely and you break it down and you take emotion out of it as best as you can, it does make a lot of sense. He's not saying that the Pirates aren't going to continue to try and maybe get it done, acquire an offensive player or two, although we just got done saying, my gosh, landing even one bat would be enormous in this environment. So it makes sense that the players on the roster, the 40-man roster, including some minor leaguers, if they make incremental progress, three, four, five of them, that's going to have a bigger impact than just acquiring one bat. So, again, it's a matter, I guess, of mathematics in that respect. If five or six guys – oh, and by the way, should – going back to the players that have improved, I forgot to mention Nick Gonzalez, who, you know, aside from a two-week stretch, has been as good a hitter on this team since – his call up in mid-May as anybody, and he's back to stinging the ball again. You know, and if Tellez gets out of it, I'm sure Tellez will say that, and I know he talked about going to see some, or at least talk to a former coach or scout years ago that brought him into the big leagues, but they still work with these hitting coaches and Andy Haynes. The bottom line is that the Pirates' greatest chance of improving offensively are indeed currently on the Major League and AAA rosters, and that does not mean that they are going to abandon the idea of going out to try and acquire a bat or two. That I think is the bottom line.
Last one, why Grandal over Bart? We need offense. We've seen Bart hit for power. We've seen him drive the ball. Why are they still treating Grandal like he's the starter and Bart is the backup?
So I don't know that yet. We don't know a pattern yet because Bart just returned the other day. I'm guessing, this is a total guess. I'm going to have to go back and look. It's a total guess that Mitch Keller might have a not he's got a poor relationship with Bart, but Grandal has caught him a bunch, mm-hmm. and he probably feels comfortable with Grandal, I would think. And I would think the starting pitcher of you know, certainly of Keller's stature now, has a lot of say when it comes to who his catcher should be.
I don't disagree with that. That's why Davis never caught him since he stunk at the beginning of the year, to be honest with you.
Well, you might be right.
Greg, enjoy the ball games. These are big ones coming up tonight.
They are.
Tomorrow
and I guess we'll probably see you, Andrew, here at PNC Park for the four-game series coming up on Friday, the wraparound. You know who's coming to town?
Who's that?
The Mets.
Oh yeah. I'll be there on Monday.
I figured.
But I won't be wearing Mets gear. I'll be rooting for the Pirates.
Nice.
Yep.
Good to have you back.
You bet, Craig. See ya.
I'll see you guys.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.